Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of The Magic Sponge. Jimmy, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Rob.
Ian, you good? Good.
Yeah, yes. I'm excellent, mate.
Yeah, we've got a brilliant guest today.
We have.
Joe Jordan.
Yes, hello, Joe. Thanks for coming in, my man.
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Yeah. But Joe, you're really intimidating and scary. But I like you. You've just got an air
coaching
of,
look about
like,
it.
Yeah, you could be like a mob boss.
Got a good Joe, solid handshake as well. I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah,
time,
I don't think I had a
couple of my fingers.
I didn't handshake.
He's got a solid handshake. Yes, he has. We've just shook his hand. Yeah, he's solid.
Oh yeah. Joe, you are, as Jimmy said, I think we might have sort of gone a bit over the top with the level of kind of professional and athlete you were, because this is a bit low rent, this show, and you've.
We used to like second division and Vauxhall Conference players, but Joe, explain to the punters, who'd you play for? Name me one of your top teams. Get on this, Rick.
Well, I started at Green at Morton.
Not that one. That's about this level for us.
That's on the Clyde, and then I finished up with Bristol City, but there was a number of clubs in between. Yeah, I was pretty
cool, mate. AC Milan.
Yeah. You were Manchester United,
including their list of most important 110 players. 110 is weird, was it? Isn't it? Yeah. Normally 100, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know where you were in the list? You went 109, was it?
I don't know where it was, but I'm glad I got a mention there.
That's amazing. AC Milan. So yeah, you're sort of quite big dog. Normally we have ex-professionals on here talking about sort of getting drunk, not going to training, messing about, but it seems like you was a professional and was really successful and it worked out.
Yeah, what was you like, Joe, as a player? That's what I'd like.
I think it was a... I would have to say I came in as a good professional, I think.
Yeah.
To get through the career that I had for the length of time, I think there was a degree of professionalism in that. And I went to Leeds United, and I think learning my trade there. Yeah. They were a fantastic club to go to for someone. I was there at 18, and what I learned there, you know, the habits and things like that, and the players I played with, they taught me the right way to go about playing a professional.
So you was a model professional, really successful, did this app, but you must have got shit-faced a few times, didn't you?
Well, through that length of time, you come across all sorts, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you must have, what have you seen? You must have seen some sights, though. Was everyone, not everyone's as professional as you, though, were they? I can't imagine.
At Leeds United, I would say. But that was a different era then.
Yeah.
You know, but I would say that they were a type of club and a type of team that bounced back from, and they had a few disappointments in that era. But they had that desire and that will to improve and to bounce back, which they did in numerous occasions to, you know, it was, I would say Leeds United weren't the most popular team
No.
Throughout the land. But
they were successful.
They were reasonably successful and maybe should have won more.
Yeah.
But for me, coming down from Scotland, I couldn't have asked to go to a better club.
Have you ever played with anyone that you just thought you're that?
Yeah, some players. Give me some players, Joe, that you thought.
Come on, you could
who's
be
the nuttiest player that you played.
Basically,
with?
What you want from you, the stories of all the people. We've got lots of examples of some of the stuff. It keeps going back to Kev Gallen, but it's sort of. Have you must have come across players that are just not as professional as you and just think.
Any
on,
mad
mate.
Player? What's the maddest player you've played with, Joe?
Mad.
Like, just crackers, you know what I mean? Just on a different wavelength to yourself. Just gone in a change room. You just don't know what to expect from them, yeah.
Well, we don't know about mad. Coming into a changing room, coming into a dressing room, you know what it's like. I think you live or die as if a professional football player, not just on the training pitch, but in a dressing room. If you can't handle the dressing room, yeah, then you have a problem. And it wasn't made known to me till later on. We had a player at Manchester United in Mickey Thomas.
Yeah.
And Mickey, he came into the dressing room and, like, disappeared. He would get changed and then go. And we'd never seen him until
caught him late.
Until we were on the training ground. And then after the training ground, we never seen him. And Mickey used to go into the reserve changing room and get changed.
What?
Because he couldn't handle the banter.
Oh,
he
really?
Couldn't, he couldn't be around all the boys. Really?
He
just
found
too
it difficult.
Feisty for him.
Yeah. I mean,
is that right?
Mickey is a pundit now. It's not as if he can't handle. You know, he works in Manchester now. But the fact that on the training ground, it was fine. But
you have
Mickey,
to get his head in the right frame of mind, you reckon?
He just couldn't handle, you know, because their stick used to fly and Mickey used to just disappear. And
do you think he's got more time, the sort of stick in the dressing room and the banter, or is it still as...
Yeah. No, yeah. I think because of the number of foreign players that have come in.
It's changed it a bit.
But didn't I think if you ask football players...
Pig's head in his locker, though.
No, that was at Stoke. I think it was Kenwyn Jones had a pig in his locker and someone else put something else on their car or something.
Hang on a minute. I've not heard that.
What?
Where'd you get this shit from?
someone I don't know the information. Rob knows my name, but someone put a pig's head in someone's locker.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I read that.
So what's the biggest, the weirdest or the most bit too far prank you've seen in the dressing room? Was it pranks or was it just take the piss out of each other?
Both, definitely. But when I came down from Leeds, to Leeds from Scotland, Don Revie put me between Eddie Gray and Peter Lorimer to get stripped, and that was supposed to be helping me out, you know, to look after me. And they used to slaughter me, you know. So they were two that were supposed to be
looking after
me, but at the same time, you grew up pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you didn't need looking after, did you? You was like one of the hardest.
You're talking about a different thing. You're talking a physical thing and a mental thing. You're talking about. I mean, even in the physical situation, you know, when I come down there, I had to get myself fit. I was not really as fit as you needed to be to be a professional football player. But also, I think, as we've discussed here, to be a professional football player, any sportsman, I think you've got to be mind-wise, you've got to be strong-minded.
Yeah. Well, they got a bit of stick, the Leeds team, for being sort of doing anything to win, being a bit dirty. Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't think it is fair, because I think in that particular era, there were so many professional teams that were competitive that could win.
Yeah,
the league. I mean, I think in the era 10 years between, say, the mid-60s to the mid-70s, I think in that 10 years there was seven teams that won the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So that shows you how competitive it was. Yeah. And unless you were your house in order every single year,
you weren't going to win it. Every
you weren't going to win it.
So, but what is the dirtiest thing you've seen on a pitch that would be unheard of now? It must have been
back in the day, Joe. The tackles were outrageous, weren't they?
The tackles and what went on off the ball.
Yeah, really? There was a lot of that because you didn't have cameras.
Or just sort of pinching and punching and.
Pinching, I don't think we went to any kind
Chinese burns.
No, but like little subtle things that the ref can't see.
No, I think
so. You can tell he's not played football before. Pinching.
Yeah, he's pinched me.
No, I can't remember, it was like Dennis Wise or something like that. So he used to help people up and pinch you under the armpit.
Pulled,
and
all that. All that used to happen. But
are you talking about going on the pitch tooled up?
Reason why cameras.
Yeah, the
cameras. It's going on the pitch now.
I think
that
makes a lot of difference. Yeah, you can't get away with anything now. But then I think anything went, you know. Yeah. And then the referees were a little bit more lenient.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially in the first 20 minutes.
A little bit more lenient. I like the way you put that.
There was a wee bit of intimidation went on in that period, and you had to accept it. You had to know that it was coming and to be prepared and make sure that in that initial period in a match, it was a foregone conclusion. It was going to happen, and then you're looking at the referee once he'd allowed the game to get underway, that there would be a wee bit more protection after that.
Or in the tunnel.
That would happen as well, yeah.
And so who's the hardest, like dirtiest player you played against? Who's the toughest?
Too many to mention.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone was like it, really?
No, I think every team that you play would have that type of player.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think there was that ingredients in a team, you know, there was that balance because it was a physical game, a lot more so now. I think the game has improved.
You needed an hard man.
I would think there was more than one.
Yeah.
But usually the hard men could play a bit as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they could get into the team just for...
Well, when Arsenal had... He's not really a hard man, but it was basically Arsenal used to bring on Jules Grimondi for the last 5 minutes of a game just to kick everyone.
Remember him?
That's what he did, wasn't it? Every five minutes, run around, kick everyone. Like Flamini now, he does that. Have you got a quiz, haven't you, for Joe?
Yeah, I've got a quiz. But get ready for this, Joe. Bearing in mind, a lot...
to strap yourself in.
A lot of the answers for this, usually people tell me are wrong. So we'll see how it goes. It's a quiz about you. See how much you know
about
yourself.
I know about myself. Yeah, right, go on.
So how many goals have you scored in your club career?
I've no idea.
No? Have a guess.
I'll go 100.
Oh, not bad. 106.
Right.
Oh. Not bad.
Where'd you score the majority of them, Joe?
Manchester United,
yeah.
I've got this is I'm skipping this one. This is the best question I think I've ever written for this podcast. I love it so much. So you've scored international goals against four national teams that no longer exist. Can you name any of them?
Zaire.
Oh yeah.
Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
I'll get this one.
We haven't got much tea.
Red flag.
It's like destinations in Bond.
Oh, yes. Russia.
With Soviet Union.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I thought Russia was still going. When did they crack? That didn't get into the
news. Yugoslavia was still going.
No, that's
sure. Went there last week. Last year?
No, I don't think you did, mate.
No? Must have been somewhere else with a funny name.
Which one of your former colleagues said the following? I love animals so much, all animals, apart from cats. I'm a little bit scared of cats.
Former colleague?
Yeah.
Give me a team. Give me a clue. That's a big...
It's not a player. You didn't play with them.
Oh, well, that narrows it down, doesn't
it? It's management.
Oh, God. So scary.
Management?
Management. Part of the management team that you've worked on. He loves doing interviews out of cars.
Harry? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh, I love animals so much, all animals apart from cats. I'm a little bit scared of cats. Is that right?
Are you scared of cats, Joe?
I've got a dog.
What dog?
I've got a boxer.
A boxer that calls
you? Mad boxer.
I knew it'd be aggressive. I knew it'd be aggressive.
Yeah, harsh.
I've got two more. Having moved to Milan, your nickname of Jaws was given a local interpretation. So can you remember your Italian nickname?
Lo Squalo.
Lo Squalo. The
really?
Shark.
Why would you call Jaws?
Maybe because I didn't have any teeth. That was.
Do you not have any teeth?
No, I've lost a few.
No, unfortunately not.
He used to have a big gap there, didn't you?
Yeah.
I remember seeing some pictures of him. He looked like an animal.
There's one there. Have you not looked? It's on the first page of the notes, mate.
There he is. Yeah.
So you just didn't have any. You didn't have two front teeth for a bit.
I would have settled just for not having two. Yeah, but
it's about four there.
Where did they all go?
They went in different incidents.
So how many did you lose?
Four.
Oh, that's my career over if I lost one. I'd have nothing left. That's half the
act. No, after that, it doesn't matter.
He's got 104,
isn't he? Yeah, I've got 100, yeah.
Look at them.
So how long did you go around with just no front two teeth for?
Forever.
Really?
Yeah.
So, because I've... So what made you change your mind? How's eating?
How badly it shocked you.
It's not the idea
of losing like Russian. It's like playing Russian roulette with a bit of beef.
Yeah, exactly. So you just Because you're like, how do you eat just through the side? Yeah, like if you're having a burger, if you've got no two... sorry, mate, but I'm just a bit confused about how you eat your sandwich about two front teeth. But it's just tougher, is it, I suppose?
No, not a problem. No, you're used to it.
But didn't you just get like a big lump bit in the middle that you couldn't bite through?
No, never. Well. No, my wife used to cut it up for me. Yeah.
What, a sandwich with a knife?
No, the steak.
A steak? Yeah. And they just feed you a steak?
Yeah, just with cut it up in wee bits and it made it easier for me. You know?
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? So your wife used to cut your dinner up. Fair enough. That's all right, one of my main memories of you, because obviously you played a little bit before my time when you was at your peak, the Gattuso on the pitch incident with you squaring up to Gattuso in the Tottenham.
No, you've not seen it.
Tottenham, it's amazing. Tottenham are playing AC Milan in Milan, and so you're on the sideline with Harry Redknapp, and then Gattuso sort of running around kicking everyone, mouthing off, and then he starts mouthing off at you, and then you start squaring up to him.
I have seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it.
What did he say, Joe? How did that come about?
It came about because I think he lost the head.
And
he'd had a couple of arguments.
He was like that anyway, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Could you know
what he was saying in Italian then? Is that or?
Well, actually, he's married to a Scottish girl. So he can speak a bit of English.
Yeah.
And
he
lost the place. And I think he eventually got booked, which prevented him playing in the second leg at White Hart Lane.
Oh, really?
So I think he lost it completely.
Yeah. So what was he saying to you, though?
I think we had complained about something. We had an injured player, one thing or another, and we wanted our physio on, and it just got into a ruckus, you know. Yeah. I can't really remember.
No. Did you see him in the tunnel?
I think it was a little bit busy in the tunnel at the time.
I remember. Harry had to calm you down.
Did you see him?
I did see him. He was getting dragged away.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
What do you reckon would have happened if you just two got let
You're
let
so
go?
Calm sitting here, though, Joe. It worries me a bit.
I know. I don't want him to get scared. Scare me.
I think things change. Once you're on a football player as a football player, I tell you that it's different, you know.
But once you're off the pitch, it's fine. But
I think you get a bit more mature than...
Do you reckon you could have had him?
I don't think that would have been a question that I would have answered. That you just let things go and take.
Yeah, but if you actually fought it, would you win?
Well, in all my years is at Leeds United and Man United and AC Milan and Verona.
Jim's a bit like that.
I never got sent off. So
you never got sent off
in my professional playing for those clubs. I get sent off once playing for Scotland, but in that time that you're talking about, the best part. 13-14 years.
I know.
I wasn't stupid.
Yeah. No.
Does it make you feel good though that if you watch that clip, all the commentators, everyone is just saying like, no, you've picked a fight with the wrong person. I read an article where they were just saying you would have murdered him. Like everyone had you winning that fight. Is there a bit of you that's like quite pleased?
It's a hard one to answer because I never get involved in like that.
No, but Joe, the thing is, right? You're really hard. I really want to be. You are, mate. I want to be hard so much, and I'm so excited that I'm talking to someone who's like an hard man. And you're like, well, no, I'm not. I'd be like, yeah, I am hard, and I knocked him out.
You weren't expecting it, was you? Well, that's when
you're too gracious.
That.
I wouldn't be gracious like that. I'd be like, yeah, knocked him out in the tunnel, mate. Even if I didn't.
You find the hard man, a lot of them are quiet and quite reserved, like Joe, because you don't need to prove that unless it comes to it, and then like loss of head, the red mist will come over. But what I'd like to ask, if you didn't get sent off in your career, do you reckon you'd get sent off in this day and age? It's quite a difficult one to answer because the game's changed and have had to change.
Yeah, I would have needed to change, Jamie. Yeah.
Yes. He would have got
sent off.
I think he would have got sent off.
Yeah, but so would the players that played against me because that's the way that, you know, if the game was going to be played like that in a more physical aspect of the game, that's the way it goes. Yeah. But if you have a referee who doesn't allow the sort of tackles that went on or the intimidation tactics that maybe be used, then you wouldn't have to revert.
What kind of intimidation tactics would it be? Yeah.
Just a quick one. You've mentioned that a couple of times. So was it a case of sort of weighing up the ref a little bit as well, seeing what way he'd go with it? Do you get what I mean?
Because
there's rules now, isn't there? We know you're not allowed to tackle from behind. Was there the case back in the day, was there some refs that would, you're playing up front, the centre half would come through, you'd let the first one go, let the second one go, then you go, right,
I know where I'm going here. I'm gonna have to look after myself. Was there games like that?
I think you had to look after yourself in respect to what you're saying. A couple of examples of that, but I think you had to know how far you could go with the referee. Yeah. And to be fair to referees in that day, there was a dialogue between yourself and the referee, and the referee would say enough.
Yeah.
And I never overstepped my mark when I was given that guidance.
You used the governor, on the pitch. But now there isn't. You can't talk to refs a lot of the time now. But saying that,
did you ever a bit of banter with him just going on about normal things?
I was never. I played my game totally different. I wasn't aggressive in the slightest. I just was like, I used to try and get on the side of the ref.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Oh, don't worry about it. Do you know what I mean? If I see someone having a go, I'll be like the slippery one just to try and like warm him up a little bit. I would. Unless someone come through me bad and I thought it was a liberty. And then I'd say, look.
Has a footballer ever been mates with a ref? Ever socialised?
I was mates with Chris Foy.
You was mates with Chris Foy?
Yeah, really, I really was. He used to come, listen to this. Back in the day, right, when I played at Wigan, Chris Foy used to come to Wigan's training ground to watch us train.
Yeah.
And I used to go out my way to be friends with him.
Really?
Yes, because I knew he'd be...
Did you ever go to cinema or anything?
Nothing like that. No. But, you know, I thought I'd use my brain here. I spend a bit of time. You never know when that time comes. So
what kind of...
I'm not saying that he would...
But it is human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose so.
But it is, you know, because referees, they are human. And I think you like the tactic you're using, you know.
But there wasn't a lot of other blokes. There were a lot of other boys playing in my team.
I don't know what you and Foy got up to.
No, when I say we mates, let's have it right. I didn't have him on my phone. No, you've got that wrong. It's like, I haven't got him on my phone.
He could give you a fake number like John Terry did, but...
No, yeah. Prick. But no, I just went out of my way to think, hang on a minute, I could use this to our advantage. But to be fair, it didn't work. Because to be fair, when he was on the pitch, he was like... Is what it is. If it's a foul, we give it.
Little robot.
I wouldn't get away with anything. You never give me a pen or anything like that. So you weren't a good mate, no.
No.
You weren't a good mate. That's what I'm trying to get.
Well, yeah, it was a penalty, but Jim's a great mate.
But I just went out of my way, and I suppose, yeah, it is. I'm using my brain a little bit. I've sort of, like, using my brain a little bit to get round him. But other players, like, they're horrible. But players can be horrible bastards sometimes. I've seen, like, they just slaughter refs for no apparent reason. You see it now. They go through a player. And then they won't pick the player up and say, sorry, all right, well, that's up to you. But then they'll fuck the ref off. And clearly, you just nailed a player.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're fucking the ref off as well. So you've been the wrong twice.
You wouldn't do that to Foy, would you?
Oh, I've never done that.
I think the verbals you see now...
Is outrageous.
You as a referee, you would not allow... I wouldn't allow that.
Nah.
To be said to me.
Yeah. Would I? No. I think they
show so much discipline, referees, and that. But I think it is a lack of respect. Now, I as a referee, if I was a referee, I wouldn't take it.
100%.
Of course not. You were talking about being at Leeds when Don Revie was there, and then you were there when Brian Clough took over.
Yeah.
How was that?
Two legends, really.
But what, it didn't work out.
What's the difference between them both? Or was there any difference?
Oh, completely.
Well, there was a difference. I mean, two of them proved to be great managers in their career. Yeah. I think Brian Clough came to a club in Leeds United that he had criticised pretty regular and heavily. And it wasn't going to work. I think he was at the wrong club at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But he went on after his 44 days at Leeds and proved to be a bit of a genius as a manager doing what he did at Nottingham Forest. But I learned my football under Don Revie and the players that were in that dressing room, and I'll always be thankful. I would say Don Revie's the best manager that I ever played under, because I was influenced by that and the fact that he was a tremendous manager and person to me. Brian Clough time, it was a disaster, you know. It was totally chaos.
Did the squad have a sort of feeling that, like, you sort of almost didn't want it to work from the start, or did you give him a fair crack of the whip and it didn't work out, or was it when you sort of found the news everyone's like, oh, I don't, this is not gonna happen?
Well, when he got the job, he went on holiday and we were doing pre-season training.
Oh, really?
So that wasn't a very good start.
No, that's not going to endear you, is it?
So we arrived at pre-season the first day and he didn't turn up for another fortnight.
I didn't know that.
So
that's not going to help, is it? Was that part of the 44 days?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It
was. 2 weeks of holiday.
It's unbelievable.
2 weeks of holiday.
Why did he go on holiday, though? I don't understand that. I was getting a new job.
What? I don't know, maybe it's
was that just
power thing or something like that. Mm. And did you have any run-ins with him directly, or was it...
No.
No, he didn't have any sort of conversations with him?
The only thing, I mean, I mean, he didn't disguise it. He bought two centre forwards, so that didn't help.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, it was a strange time. It was the last person you would have expected to arrive at Leeds United.
And he said it just wasn't.
It just didn't.
Just didn't work.
It didn't work, no.
But yeah.
And Harry Redknapp, you was managed by Harry Redknapp, and you worked with Harry Redknapp.
Yes. Yeah. He gave him a chance, Harry. I was a young kid. And I supported West Ham, and he went, come here, do you want to play for West Ham United? It isn't an hard decision. I'm like, well, I'm at Gravesend, I'm painting and decorating. Of course I want to come.
You really good at painting and decorating? Do you still DIY?
Average 4 years I've done it for.
4 years?
Yeah, with the old
so
man.
So do you still DIY your own house?
Yeah, she's on my case now, the missus.
What you got to do?
A bit of painting.
Well, I can't imagine him doing anything. Imagine him at 18 coming around your house and painting. Oh,
yeah. I was a good. I could never hang wallpaper. The old man wouldn't trust me.
One of the basics of decorating?
What, hanging wallpaper? See, that's where you're wrong.
I was a brilliant cab driver, but could you never get it into fourth gear?
I mean, you don't know what you're on about, Badgers.
What do you mean?
It's a lot harder than you think.
Hanging wallpaper?
What do you have to put? What do you mean, hang it? Hang it, stick it.
Okay, so you got a roll of paper, yeah? You got a roll of paper, it's got a pattern on it. You got a match.
No, it hasn't. I like playing.
And you got to match it up.
Yeah, but it doesn't come like different patterns.
And you got
it?
Drops. You got 40-foot drops on a staircase. You think that's easy? It ain't easy. It ain't easy, pal. I don't care. You can laugh all you want. It ain't easy.
Matching up patterns.
40-foot drops.
No, you take a big drop, isn't it? Out of order.
So you did. You weren't very good at the.
I was shit at football. Shit a dick, right? So I become a footballer, has that?
Yeah, fair enough. That's all right, isn't it? Better than the other way around, didn't
it? But to answer your first question, I had 3 years with Harry. He signed me at West Ham Football Club, and yeah, that was it. That was my dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, and after, I didn't really break in at the first team, and then I went on for Peterborough, and Barry Fry bought me. So, yeah.
And did you enjoy working with Harry?
Harry was blinding.
Really great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it lasted for 10, 11 years.
So. Yeah, it was Portsmouth as well, and QPR.
Portsmouth were great. It was a great days because Portsmouth were a club that no one expected anything from. And we did continually give them something, whether it was staying in the division, which was a big, big thing.
Yeah. What about Tottenham, though? Was it semi-finals or the...
Quarter-finals.
Quarter-finals.
Yeah.
But was it Bale in Milan that scored the three goals?
Brilliant. That was part of that. Yeah. But
I'm saying that as an Arsenal fan. It was success at the time. But.
Relative success all the way through. I mean, Spurs, obviously, you've documented that. But Portsmouth...
Yeah,
some
Paul
great days, great times.
What do you think with Spurs when you know got fourth, but because of Chelsea winning the Champions League, and when Redknapp left, then was that just because something you know with Redknapp and Levy that wasn't going to be fixed? Because Faw is doing a great job. But still going. I don't think.
Well,
like,
that's
anyway,
you can never.
I
didn't expect anything to turn out the way that it did. I mean, I was on holiday and found out Harry rang me and told me that it was coming to a conclusion and that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
And as you say, we finished fourth that year.
Yeah, because it must have been pissed off because you know there's what more can you do like.
Yeah, but I think you get to my stage in football and you've come across some weird moments and. To get the sack, if you want to call it that, that's the way it goes. Yeah, you just go on with it. Yeah, so I think once it's happened to you once, then that's it. You know, you just get not immune to it, but you just got to accept it.
What do you think, like you and Harry would have done when Bale went to Real Madrid and Tottenham spent all the money and got all these players, some of them not good enough? What do you think would have happened if Harry was there? And you had that kind of money from Bale going?
Well, I think, first of all, I would have tried to put up an argument not to let Gareth go or Luka Modric go.
Harry's one of them men. He wants to keep his best players,
yes,
doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He's
there's no secret. You get
100%. Yeah,
you get your players. You get your good players. And when you look back, and there's two guys here in the room here who are Spurs fans, Spurs had a good team then.
Yeah. If you want to go to the next level and challenge the league or be in the top four, you need Bale and Modric because they're those top four level players.
Van der Vaart as well.
Van der Vaart was different class, you know. Peter Crouch, they had the Van der Vaart straight away in the first couple of training sessions. He was a clever, clever player. Not great pace, but good technique. Good instinct. And he knew he could get goals from Peter Crouch right away in the training sessions. You could see it. And he clicked, and he got his goals from Peter Crouch, from being around Peter Crouch, and showed the ability they had.
Who's the best player you've ever seen sort of in training? Because what you were saying before, Jimmy, sometimes some players can just do it in training, but just not on the pitch.
Well, I wouldn't say doing it in training, but one player that impressed me and he's looked over a lot was Cano. I thought,
really?
And I speak because I was a centre forward myself, and I seen Cano. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, I don't know what age he was.
I still think he's 21, and he's still.
But some of the things that
good
Cano,
Joe,
some of the things Cano did in training, the feet that he had and the movement he had, and this is let's say this was when he was a veteran, and he did it at the top. He did it. I remember him. My first away game, we'd just brought him in pre-season training. He'd hardly had any pre-season training. And we went to Middlesbrough in the second game, the first away game, and he got two goals. He out-sprinted the Middlesbrough back four for a through ball, and my mouth was open, I couldn't believe it. He out-sprinted and tucked it away with composure. He got back on the plane, and we had to put him on a wheelchair.
Really?
Yeah. His legs had seized up, so we had to get a wheelchair up to the plane and put him on that.
Well, just tired.
And then, he was gone. His legs were gone. Couldn't run anymore. So we got him a wheelchair off the plane and took him from the plane to the car.
Well, his knees are seized up.
Yeah, his body, but he had a dodgy knee as well. But the body has seized up, and the players had to take his gear off the carousel when it was coming round.
Oh, really?
And someone had to drive him home. We had got him to the car from the wheelchair.
I'd have put him on the carousel.
The
car. Get on. So how did I get him indoors? Leave him on the doorstep. I've got you.
Was that because of he's getting older and all that? Was that?
Well, he hadn't done any pre-season training.
This was his second game.
He was subbed the first game.
Yeah.
And we put him on and he scored then.
Yeah.
And then in the second game, we go way out to Middlesbrough and we won. And you know yourself, it was adrenaline that was running, and once the adrenaline had gone, his legs had just.
Remember his feet though, even at half his feet were outrageous. Yeah,
he was.
That hat trick against Chelsea, it's quality.
Yeah, ridiculous.
He was a player.
Yeah.
Good show.
In your time on the touchline, I mentioned the Gattuso incident. It's also got a couple of others here, if you don't mind talking through these. Paul Ince.
Incy?
Did you have a row with Paul Ince?
I had a row on
yes.
on the bench with many people.
Yeah.
The clinch gets stronger, so Joe. As you say that, the grit.
Alan Pardew. Do you have one with Alan Pardew?
He possibly, quite likes one. Yeah. He, to be fair, I think he's had a few.
I love that one.
Yeah, tell Jimmy what he did, because he ate Pard. Even Wenger had a go at Pard.
Go on, what happened?
No, I think I had more arguments on the bench than I did when I was playing. Yeah.
But
I think
because you can't do anything physically. On the pitch,
right?
I'm going to channel this into playing. But if you're honest, you just get more frustrated, I suppose.
Yeah.
And Roy Hodgson, you had a row with Roy Hodgson?
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly.
Who haven't you had a row with, Joe? You hot-headed.
I wouldn't know if I was hot-headed. I just give my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
Right, Jack, no, but it is
in the spirit of being named in. Well, yeah, in 2007, you were named the 34th hardest man in the history of the game. That's did you take that?
Am I in the top 30?
No, you're in the top 110. Right, let's do the commentary bit. Right, commentary section. Right, Jimmy and Ian, this is the best bit of this series, isn't it? This commentary thing. Ooh. I'm going to give you a scenario.
I'm shit.
I'm going to give you a scenario, guys, and then you have to commentate as if you're at the ground, like Soccer Saturday.
Basically, Joe, you'll get it.
Well, you can let us know what you think about their. You can vote who's the best, can't you, Joe?
Right.
Cool. Okay. Cool. I feel like we've sort of built bridges. Do you, Joe?
Yeah, of course we have.
Do you reckon we'll catch up and have a drink?
Joe wants to hurt Rob.
I mean, if it was icy at the start, I think I'm still four and out with you, Joe. Right, Ian, let's do your one first.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Right, I'll do it as Jeff said it. Right, we're cutting to Ian Smith now, who's at Upton Park for the West Ham versus the Arsenal game, but we're hearing the referee hasn't blown up for half time and is just carrying on the game. Ian, what's going on?
Oh, you won't believe this, Jeff. We're 33 minutes into extra time now. It's getting absolutely ridiculous. The players are tired. They're on the floor. They're sleeping. They don't know what to do. It's 8-4. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long the second half's going to be. I've got to get home and see my wife. It's awful. Back to you, Jeff.
What do you think of that, Joe? Do you reckon you get a job? I'd give him 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10! Well done! What would you give him for his quiz he did earlier?
What about his high pitch? Just keeps going like that. When's he going to run out of breath?
Next week I'll do it deep.
You start too high. What I suggest next time you start deep and then get higher. Or go higher to
You give yourself nowhere to go.
You're not going to believe this, Joe.
They are players.
Come then, Rob, what have I got?
Okay. Right now, over to Jimmy Bullard. Injuries all round at the KC Stadium today and all four match officials out of action. Luckily, we have Jimmy Bullard at the ground and he's offered to take control. Jimmy, are you still marked up down there?
Yeah, I can't believe it, Jeff. I've only come into the stadium. I'm 10 minutes late. I've got my mouth around a puck of pie and all the refs in black, all four of them, there's no one here. So what I've done, for charity, I've only got on pitch and I'm reffing the game as we talk, Jeff. And the score is 2-1. And there's an offside. I've got no fucking lines, but I can't see it. Fuck it, I'll give it. 2-1 back to you, Jeff.
Oh, that's all I had. I just didn't know where I was coming. I've got Joe looking at me.
I mean, it's quite intense with Joseph. No,
it's horrible. But I got through it.
What do you reckon, Joe, on that?
I thought it was exceptional.
It's really hard to do this podcast when you're with like a really successful, brilliant footballer who's had a brilliant career just looking at us saying, oh my God, you scored in 3 World Cups, mate.
That's correct, yeah.
Isn't it? I've never watched 3 World Cups.
Is it the first footballer we've had on that's been better than me?
No.
Okay.
Emil Escu.
Yeah,
Escu. Oh, but yeah, better than me. Emil, he can't kick the ball straight. Are you all right?
Yeah, how many England caps have you got?
Yeah, but you just don't go off that, do you? Joe's got no more England caps than me.
No, true.
He's better than me.
I've got the same amount of England caps as you.
Zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finish. You're on the bench, weren't you? Anyway, Joe, thanks for coming in. And sorry.
Yeah, cheers, Joe.
It's been a pleasure and experience, gentlemen. Yeah. Thanks very much.
I did tell you it'd be a weird one.
Going gently.
And that's it for the podcast. If you enjoyed it, give us a review. Rate us 5 out of 5. Let us know what you think. And see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Magic.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Expunge is a Pixshoe production for Dave, produced by Sam Pearson and Chris Reedy.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh no!
Oh my God, it's a really long video.
Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
lightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.